This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here.
How you doing?
I'm good. Good. Good, good. Yeah. Big football fans. Did you watch the game last night?
Sure.
So big news in football. Tom Brady lost. He doesn't lose often, but he lost this playoff game. He's done for the season. The Bucs lost to the Dallas Cowboys 31-14.
It was not even close. Yeah.
It wasn't even competitive. And that's gonna lead to my next point. But, you know, Brady didn't have a great game. And here's what he had to say afterwards to the press about his plans for the future.
What is your process from here when you start to think about what you want to do next? Because obviously it's going to be huge speculation.
I'm going to go home and get a good night's sleep as good as I can tonight. And I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort. And I know it's hard for you guys, too. It's hard for us players to make it through. And you guys got a tough job. And I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you, everybody, for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys, so thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Now, let's focus on the back half of that. So the beginning is, I love sort of like a football analyst during a game, I like breaking down sort of this commentary. The first half is, I'm going to go home and get a good night's sleep. It's sort of an empty platitude that you give after a game.
Yeah, we need like a telestrator to go through sentence by sentence circle.
Yeah, now, the last part.
The first is him just masterfully sidestepping the question.
That's right.
And he knows what they're asking. Are you retiring? Is this it? Are you done?
He knows where the question is going.
I'm just going to go home. Just focusing one day at a time.
That's right.
But that sounded like a goodbye.
Look, when you say, thank you, everybody, for welcoming me, he's speaking to the press corps for the Bucs, people that you learn to know over the course of a season. He has to answer these questions every Sunday or every game he plays. There was a little catch in his voice. Did you hear it?
It sounded like he started to choke up for just a second.
There was
like,
a little bit of choking up.
Goodbye.
What I would like to do if we're really going to robustly analyze this is play it against last year's final press conference. Did he also do the same song and dance and then come back so that we
but remember
read into this?
So he retired in February. I was like,
yes.
Okay, so he's done and then unretired. So even if he does retire, doesn't necessarily mean anything because that might last a couple weeks.
Right.
But he's 45, and I think maybe he thought he could go out with a Super Bowl win or out on top. And the older he gets, the worse he's damaging kind of, not his legacy, because that's
his
set.
Legacy's sort
it's
of set.
Set. But go out on top.
Yes. I want to push back a little bit. He had a pretty good season. I think he had sort of like the most completions he's ever had or something like that, where he's still playing at a very, very high level. He made the playoffs. The team around him is pretty good, although not Super Bowl caliber, apparently. Yeah. I think he's coming back. And here's the two big reasons I think he's coming back. Last night was messy. It's a bad note to go out on. If you're that good, you want to go out in that Jordan-esque last shot on the Bulls kind of way, although Jordan came back on the Wizards and had a sad conclusion.
You do want to come back and, again, like just blow it out your last season, but you also run the risk of just getting worse.
You do. You run the risk that you are now going to really decline, the team is going to be even worse, and you're going to have an even worse note than a playoff loss. You may not even get into the playoffs. That could be a worse ending for Tom Brady. I don't think his brain is wired that way. I think he's wired like a winner. He thinks he's going to win the Super Bowl every year, and that's why he's won
and
so many
a lot
of
the time he does.
The second reason I believe he's coming back is he doesn't have anyone home telling him not to.
There's no lady nagging him to quit. Yeah, I know.
No, but it's true. The Giselle issue is now over. You know, they are divorced.
Clearly, a lot of the pressure last season was she wanted him to retire. And that was sort of the final straw, it seems like, is when he unretired, she's like, you know what? I'm done.
Right.
Like, you said you were quitting. You did. Then you came back. Said you were quitting. You did. Came back. He doesn't have that now. He can do whatever he wants.
Yes, and I think he is a guy who's going to want to do something. Now, he does have a promising telecasting, you know, broadcasting career ahead of him. He signed that huge deal with Fox, and when he's done, he's going to immediately get into the booth, and that's kind of a full-time job. You got to research. You have to go to even more games and sort of tell us, you know, learn how to analyze them. He'll have to learn a new skill, so he will be able to keep himself busy. He'll obviously play a lot of golf and things like that. The guy loves football, though, and you know, he can't unretire again because he's so old that he has to just stay, keep playing every year. He can't play this song and dance. He's 45 years old. You know, he doesn't have his kids and a full life to go back to anymore. I'm not saying he has an empty house. He probably has family. Probably he'll have a girlfriend.
Like some sad loser just sitting on the couch,
but
watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Where would you put your money on this? Like,
I think we could split the difference though, because he's a free agent now, right?
Yeah.
So it could be like that goodbye at the end there. Like, thank you for welcoming me. Could have just been a goodbye to Tampa, not to football.
Some people are saying, will he have a swan song with the Patriots? Obviously, he built his career.
That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
They're really down. You know, it would be very weird. Belichick didn't make the playoffs. It's a very rare thing for the Patriots to not be a good football team. They're not a good football team. Obviously, Tom Brady back on the Patriots would be a huge storyline. They might put some assets around him, have one last run at it. That would be sort of a heroic conclusion to the Brady saga.
That would be an interesting way to go out.
It would be an interesting way. He's not sort of tied to like keeping his kids in school. They're with Giselle. If they have their life set in Florida, he could do it. He seems to like the Florida life, though. I got to be honest with you. It's very warm weather. It's like, I don't see him going back to the frigid Northeast for a year just to like prove himself. But it's possible. It's out there, and people have floated that possibility. On a sad note, during Monday's game, there was a vicious, vicious injury where the receiver on the Bucs, Russell Gage, took a nasty, nasty hit to the head, had a concussion.
And the neck. People thought he was maybe paralyzed, like for a second. Like then they could see he was moving, but... You know, after what you just saw with DeMar Hamlin, it was...
You get shaken up.
It was scary.
Yes. And this is a more sort of traditional type of football scary injury. What happened to DeMar Hamlin was so strange, you know, a heart issue in the middle of the football field.
One of a million kind of circumstances.
Yeah. Horrendous. We've seen these kind of, are we worried about paralysis type injuries? Yeah. And it's scary. You know, following the game, head coach Todd Bowles said he has a concussion. He's being evaluated for potential neck injuries. And he wasn't sure if there was movement in all of his extremities. Now, we're hopeful that everything turns out okay, but... This is one of the problems with football. I think that DeMar Hamlin, now that he's out of the hospital, everyone is going to say, you know, that was a one in a million event. That shouldn't change football. And I tend to agree with that. Look, cardiac events are cardiac events. And he was a young man. No one expected this to happen. It's not intrinsic to the nature of football. This type of injury is intrinsic to the nature of football. Yeah. Concussions and neck injuries. And this is a concussion and a neck injury in one. They make football a scary sport. I mean, I'm a father of a young kids, and I would never let them play the sport because it part of the game is having injuries like that, and I just wouldn't subject my child to it. And I think a lot more people are starting to think like me, and then you lose the pipeline of people in the game.
But there
not that you're
be,
missing the yeah, little...
There's not going to be a shortage of football players. The NFL players are going to be struggling, like, who can we get to do this?
You're right, but it becomes a little bit, at some point, like cockfighting. You know, like, it's just like, it could become sort of this marginalized, strange sport. It is America's pastime.
But cockfighting never was a billion-dollar industry that people did every week for... You know,
You don't think it'll go the way...
Football's not going anywhere, no.
Yeah,
no.
Even though we're just going to watch these young men sort of subject themselves to this brutality, and we'll sit there and watch it and eat popcorn.
But the thing is, another difference there with the cockfighting analogy, which was a bit of a reach. you know, the roosters...
Once a very large sport, I'm sure, in Mexico.
In West Virginia, where I'm from. Oh, yeah. I know about cockfighting. The Roosters can't decide to do it. These players want to do this. And not like they're being forced to do it. They want to play because they love the sport.
Yes.
And they know the risk going into it. I mean...
Yeah, they love the
sport. They want to do it.
That's true. That's true. And look, they are sort of indoctrinated to love the sport. It's sort of part of the American fabric. I mean, this country used to have... You're right. Cockfighting involves animals that we're subjecting to a sport that they probably don't want to play. I won't get into whether the animals enjoy it. But, you know, bare knuckle boxing, things like this used to exist in America, and they don't anymore because it was brutal and it said something about the spectators and about the participants that we collectively as a society said, this is yucky. We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to have two guys pound each other with their bare knuckles. We're going to put gloves on them. Like, there are things that change.
Well, and football's changed. I mean,
the helmets have changed.
The leather helmets. Pads. Yeah, and
But this type of injury can't be worked around in the same way. We put the pads on the knuckles, and now boxing is a little bit less savage. Their brains are jarring in their head because they're
flying missiles at each
other.
Sure, and we're seeing all the CTE stuff and how bad that is. And we, you know, we're 50 years, 60 years into seeing how this affects people at this point. But the thing is, ultimately, I think nothing will really change. Is the people who kind of are okay with that risk are the people who love football.
Yeah.
The people who are like hand-wringing, like, this is so violent, are people who probably don't watch football in the first place.
Yes.
So you're not losing an audience there.
That's right.
Who think it's barbaric to begin with, so.
And they don't really need to grow the audience. It's massive.
It's pretty huge, yeah. So, I think they're good.
Well, that's not going to, so football's not going anywhere.
Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Just, you know, glad Russell Gage is okay.
Good. Tom Brady will have a job if he wants one, it sounds like. The sport's not going anywhere.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
All right, I want to move to a sadder story. This is the continuing saga of Aaron Carter's death. And his family is now speaking out and saying he didn't drown. There were reports because he was found in a bathtub that the thought was he drowned. They say they've heard from the LA County Coroner's Office. There's no water found in his lungs. So that's a conclusion that
he didn't drown.
He didn't drown.
He,
you know,
he
unless
died
you
of an overdose
breathe in water, you didn't drown.
Yeah.
They're saying it was drug related. It was an overdose. And they have some interesting things to say about some text messages that Aaron got.
Yeah, it's really weird. So his girlfriend has turned over his phone to investigators. They think, like, sort of implying there could be some foul play here, that he was texting with someone about a substance. They didn't say exactly what. And a debt. And the person said that Aaron owed him $800.
Yes.
Aaron said that he did not want the substance or didn't need it. And then the person said, you still owe me the money. And then the last thing Aaron texted was, is that a threat? And that's where the exchange stops.
Look, this sounds scary. And the family is being careful to say, like, you know, we don't know if this led to any foul play, but they're doing the right thing. They're turning that over to investigators, and they really should, because it could shed light on either the person who furnished the substance that ended up killing Aaron, if they had any sort of interaction potentially. Yeah. You know, the coroner hasn't said that he was killed in a homicidal fashion, so I don't want to put that out there in any way.
I think
way,
they know it was an overdose.
Color.
They're just waiting on the toxicology to determine exactly what was in his system.
That's right. And look, if you have a substance that kills you in your system, it could be completely accidental. It could be the person who furnished it didn't know. It could be the person who furnished that substance did know that it was potentially lethal. We don't know any of those elements, and it's interesting. You know, Aaron wasn't... Aaron, during his life, would say some things that sounded sort of paranoid at times. So I don't want to put too much stock in a text that said, are you threatening me, and then cutting off. Nevertheless, the timing is conspicuous. You know, this was very close to his time of death. He was someone who used drugs for a long period of time, which could lead you to believe that he could take a lethal overdose. But it also cuts the other way in some ways. People who use drugs a lot during their lives sometimes know the right amounts to take to stay alive. And Aaron, I think, was a guy who was very familiar with drugs. So there's a narrative that could be created that he knew exactly how to take drugs, and the idea of an accidental overdose is sort of far-fetched for someone who was so well-versed in taking them.
Yeah, but that can also be, at a point, your body just gives out.
That's true,
like,
as well.
Like Rick James died of a heart attack, but it was because he was doing drugs. But it was just his body, after decades of that abuse, was like, I give up.
Yeah.
Look. And it could, and Aaron Carter was very young, but he had been doing serious drugs for a long time. And your body can just be like, no more.
Right. Listen, I think when I see a story like this, I don't think we've heard the last word on this story.
No.
I found this an interesting wrinkle. When we covered the Aaron Carter story, I thought this is just a sad conclusion to a drug-fueled life and his body just gave out. I'm not as sure now that I hear his family saying, look, he didn't drown. It was a drug overdose. They seem sort of very forthcoming and honest about who Aaron was and what they found in his phone and that they're handing it over to investigators. I do expect to hear from law enforcement that they're looking into these things. Well, I think he deserves as much.
I assume they do. And also, if nothing else, whoever this person on the other end of the text was, like, remember...
could be dangerous.
Well, remember when Mac Miller overdosed, the person who got him the drugs was eventually arrested.
That's right.
And certainly because it was fentanyl, right?
Yes.
And so that was accidental in that sense. But still, the person procured the drugs for him and was arrested for it.
Yeah.
So if this is dealing drugs is still illegal. So if that's who this person on the other end of the text is,
he should be held accountable.
They should be investigating that.
Absolutely. And look, you mentioned fentanyl. I don't know exactly what drugs were in Aaron Carter's system. I don't think that's out.
The concern was that he was like
huffing. Yes.
And so there wouldn't be fentanyl in that.
Yeah, huffing though is more of a drug that you sort of buy over the counter. You buy these compressed air cans, and you huff them. Some of them are used to get dust out of your keyboard. That's a popular one that people huff. I don't know if he was huffing or what he was huffing or what types of drugs.
Because not long before he died, maybe like a day or two before. Remember the video where there was no image and you could hear what sounded like him huffing from an air can.
Yes,
but we don't know if that's what could have caused the overdose, what else he might have been taking. I mean, that's all the toxicology report will come out for that.
That's right. And there's just a lot left to investigate. It's sort of a sad and a bit of a scarier conclusion than I anticipated with Aaron Carter. And you know, law enforcement will ultimately give us some answers here, hopefully. And if there's someone dangerous out there on the streets, they should be held accountable. Mac Miller, all of those people ended up being convicted in criminal court. You know, some of them took plea deals and so forth. But the story is not over just because, he died and there's a coroner's report. There's often, criminal investigations that attend these things, especially when they're drug related. So we'll have to see, especially since we're in the middle of a fentanyl epidemic and a drug epidemic. Law enforcement's particularly interested in solving these types of things. So we'll have to wait and see. But for now, that'll do it for us.
Yeah.
All right. See you next time.